A little bit of it this morning. You'll be hearing a lot about this the next few weeks, and so I want to help us this morning in what we call Christmas story. It's really, you know, just part of the Bible. But let's look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, you notice that scripture there said, verse 1 said, when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born. Now, I want to preach this morning on the subject, why was Jesus born? The birth of Jesus Christ is a whole lot more than a little baby in a manger. It's a lot more than sweet little donkeys and sheep. You know, almost like they smell good. It's in these pictures of these on Christmas cards. It was a lot more than that. It was a dirty, stinking, filthy stable where cows and animals lived. And so why did he do that? You know, a long time ago, I remember when I was young, they come out with this rock opera called Jesus Christ Superstar. And in that rock opera, it kept saying over and over and over. Some people thought that thing was Christian. But that thing ended with Jesus dead and Judas alive. That's not the way the story ended. The story ends with Jesus alive and Judas is dead in his own place in hell. But in that rock opera, they kept saying, "Jesus Christ, superstar, who are you? What did you sacrifice?" Some of you old people remember that. And it kept saying over and over and over and over, "Who are you? What did you sacrifice?" And the world has always asked this question, who is Jesus Christ? When they come on the news, on CNN or Fox or ABC or CBS, it's always saying, well, we Christians shouldn't judge other religions, and other religions are just as good as Christianity. Christianity is separate from every other religion in the world. Nobody else made the claims Jesus made. Nobody else said, "I am the way. Nobody comes to the Father except by me." Some of our politicians the other day said, "Well, all religions, we're all believing the same God, and we're all going to the same..." That's not true, people. That's not true. We don't all believe in the same God. If Allah is God, then me and you've got the wrong God. If Jehovah is God, then the Muslims have the wrong God. Somebody's wrong. And I know who it is. If I thought Allah was God, I'd throw my Bible away and get me a Koran and learn how to read it and worship Allah. But Jesus Christ is God's Son. Now, I want to say four things about it this morning, three or four things, and I want to talk about why was Jesus born. The first thing I want to say this morning is Jesus was born to fulfill the Scripture. Jesus was born to fulfill the Scripture. The Bible says that it is not possible that one jot or tittle pass till every bit of Scripture be fulfilled. Everything in the Bible has to be fulfilled and will be fulfilled. Did you know at his first birth there was many, many prophecies fulfilled at his first birth, and there's about 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that hadn't come to pass yet, and they still are to be fulfilled. So the Bible said in Isaiah 7:14, "A virgin shall conceive." Now think about that. Think about that. The Bible said 700 years before he was born that a virgin would conceive. How wild is that? Gene Dixon, Edgar Cayce, y'all, bus workers, y'all gonna have to stop it on. Nobody else get up. Cannot get up, okay? Nobody. And everybody that's up, sit down in the back and be still. We got to have you be reverent, okay? Help me out, bus workers, please. Now, the Bible said 700 years before he was born that he would be born of a virgin. A virgin shall conceive. If you don't have the King James Bible, you got the wrong one. It said a young woman will conceive. Big deal. That ain't no prophecy. That happens every day. It said a virgin would conceive. A virgin would conceive. Do you realize this morning that it had to be that way? Jesus' mother had to be a virgin. You say that's impossible, preacher. All right, I'm going to wait on y'all to sit down now. We've got too much. We'll wait just a minute till everybody gets still. This is the last time. Okay, I'm sorry about that, y'all. I'm not being mean. Do you realize how important it is that Jesus was born of a virgin? That he was born of a virgin. You know why it's important? Because God was here and he made Adam. Adam was the first man, right? And Adam was perfect until he sinned. And soon as Adam and Eve sinned, sin got in Adam's blood. And it got in his kids and his kids and his kids and his kids. That's why we're all sinners. Let's just say this morning that Don here is Adam. Stand up, Adam. All right, there's Adam right there. I don't know where Eve is. Must have shot her. But anyway, here's Adam. Adam was a perfect man. Then him and his wife sinned and got sin in their life. Then they had a little son. Their son's name was Noah. Stand up, Noah. And this is his son, and he had sin in his heart. He had a son. His name was Jeff. Lord, they get worse as they come along. By the time it gets down to me and you, it's really bad. Stand up, son. All right, there's his daddy. There's his daddy. There's his son. There's his son. Now, if he had sin in him, that sin got in him. Because you get your blood from your daddy. Get your blood from your daddy. He sinned and got in him, and he sinned. And then Jeff had a son named Jamie. Stand up, Jamie. And then Jamie sinned. Then Jamie had a son named Ryan, and Ryan sinned. Lord have mercy. We're going down, down, down. Look at his son. Stand up. His son, something went wrong there somewhere. I didn't believe in evolution. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, here he is. Here he is. Here is Ryan's son, Brock. Well, Lord, we started out up here in the Garden of Eden. Everybody's happy, perfect, and everything. Woo, something sure happened to us down through the years, ain't it? Well, he had him. He had him. He had him. He had him. And he had him. And then Brock had a son. Lord, I don't know who's going to be Brock's son. You going to be Brock's son? I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Nobody won't claim him for his daddy. All right. Well, anyway, you get the picture. You get the picture. He had a son. He had a son. He had a son. And somehow or another, me and you got in there. Me and you got in there. All right, fellas. Everybody sit down for a second. Did you know that that's why, listen to me, did you know that's why a little kid don't want to do good? Do you know that when you're a little kid, you automatically don't want to do what you're told? All right, y'all. Hey, can't get up. Can't get up. Whose bus worker is that? Don't let it bother y'all. It's no big deal. What a blessing. All right. Now, when they sin, no, they're fine. When sin, then I sin, then my kids sin, then their kids sin. It gets in our bloodstream. We get it from our father. We get it from our father. Now, the Bible said Jesus had no sin. Jesus had no sin. Right? So if Jesus had no sin, then he didn't have a human father like me and you got. He didn't have a human father like me and you got. So who was his father? Somebody tell me. God. If God was Jesus' father, then he had no sin, and then he had perfect blood. So you got to understand, Jesus was born to fulfill the Scripture. That Bible said a virgin would conceive. You can mark it down. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. That's why the devil hates Christianity. That's why the world hates the Bible and the church and everything in it. Because that book says he was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ was not like Muhammad. Jesus Christ was not like Buddha. Jesus Christ was not like any other religious leader that's ever been on this earth. His mother was a virgin. That's important. That's necessary. You have to believe that to be a Christian. Somebody said it's optional. It's not optional. If Jesus Christ had a daddy that was a human like me and you, he was a sinner just like everybody else. He was just somebody that was set a good example. But if his daddy was God, and the Bible said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20 that he had God's blood running through his veins. So that means he was born of a virgin. A virgin. You say that's impossible. With men, yes, but not with God. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was not a new person created. He was a pre-existent person incarnated. He never began at Bethlehem. He was always with God in history and then became flesh in a human body. You listening? He became flesh in a human body. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning? His mother was a virgin. His father was God. He never had a human father. The Bible said in Deuteronomy, in the book, when Moses wrote it, he said, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me." The Bible said in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgression. 700 years before he was born. 700 years before he was ever born. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. 700 years. They nailed him to a cross. They beat him till you couldn't tell what he looked like. They slapped him and spit in his face. They nailed thorns down in his head where the blood run down his face. They done all of that. That was foretold before he was ever born. 700 years before it happened. I'm telling you, he came into this world not just so we could send Christmas cards to each other or have a get together and eat candy and eat cake. He came to fulfill the scripture of the Word of God. All right, I'm going to wait till y'all sit down. All right, we're going to wait till we sit down and stay down. You're not going to act like this in church. He fulfilled that scripture. And that Bible said that everything he did was right on schedule. He was right on target. He came to die and fulfill that scripture so me and you could have eternal life. Are you listening? Jesus Christ came to fulfill the scripture. Number two, you know why Jesus was born, young people? You know why we send them buses after y'all? You know why we spent probably $20,000 this year bringing y'all to church? You know why? Because Jesus Christ reveals God to you. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came to show us what God's really like. He came to introduce God to man. He came to show you who God is. For years and years and years, people said, "Who's God? Who's God? Where's God? Is there a God? Where's there a God?" They said one time years ago, these workers were working, and they're in this little house out in the country, and this family sat down to eat, and there was a picture up on the wall, and it was a World War II veteran up there of the family. And the family there was Daddy, Mama, and all the kids. And Daddy got killed in the war, and they got ready to bow their head and ask the Lord to bless the family. And she said, "Kids, what do y'all want for Christmas?" And the little boy looked over at that picture. And he said, "I wish my daddy would step out of that picture. I wish my daddy would step out of the picture and come and be with us for Christmas." And he said, "He can't do that." But I'm going to tell you something, what God did. For years and years and years, people said, "Where's God? Who's God? Where's God? Who's God?" And finally, one day, Jesus stepped out of that picture and came down here to this earth and said, "This is what God is." Jesus came to earth to reveal the Father. See, you wouldn't even know what God was like
if it wasn't for Jesus. We see Him all the way through the Bible as He revealed the Father. He said in John 14:9, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. In John 12, it said He was moved with compassion upon the multitude. That's God. Weeping over Jerusalem, that's God. Healing blind Bartimaeus, that's God. Telling the disciples to shut up and receive the little children, that's God. Sin is very dangerous and sin is awful, but Jesus come to show us the results of sin. And it's like they said years ago, back in 1775, there was a dirty old farmer came to a real nice motel up in Baltimore somewhere, and this guy came out to a real fancy place. He said, I'd like a room for tonight. And they said, sorry sir, we have no rooms. We ain't got no room. And he went on down the road. They said, you ain't dressed nice, you can't stay here. Send him on down the road. And about 3 days later, they got a contact that it was a vice president of the United States. And he had on overalls, and he's all dressed all dirty and everything. And they said, they sent him an apology. That is Andrew Jackson. And they sent him an apology. And they said, Mr. Jackson, they said, we're sorry, we refused you. They said, you come stay in our motel anytime. You come. And he sent them back a letter and said, if you don't have no room for a dirty farmer, you don't have room for the vice president. And that's the way Jesus did. Jesus came down. He didn't come down in a gold chariot, you know, with chrome wheels on it, you know, and sunglasses and real nice clothes and lots of money. He came in a stable. He didn't own one thing. He owned nothing. He didn't even have a house. He walked around with just the clothes on his back. He slept outside with his disciples. He was poor. He gave up his riches. That meant you could have his rags, our rags for his riches. And he stepped out of that picture and became God on this earth so that me and you could go to heaven. Listen, people, the main thing in the world is not what kind of house you live in, how much money you're making, or who you're with, or what you're doing. The main thing in this world is you have an opportunity to meet God Almighty through Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. He came to reveal the Father. He came to reveal the Father. Number three, Jesus came to defeat the devil. Jesus came to defeat the devil. Now, for years and years and years, the devil had just run the world. The devil had just took over everything and run the world. The devil had run the whole thing. He had the power of death, the Bible says. And so, Jesus took this thing, and the devil, you say, man, I ain't got time to tell you all about it this morning, but it went like this. He went up there on the mountain, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Never ate a bite. He didn't eat a bite, didn't drink anything, and as a man, he was naturally thirsty. He felt the hunger. He felt the thirst. And the Bible said the devil came. The devil came. That's when the devil will come to you, when you're weak. You know when the devil will mess up your life? When you're going through a weak part or a change, you're going through a divorce, or you're going through, you just lost your job or something. Son, that's when the devil will pop it to you if you ain't real careful. He's laying a plot for you right now to ruin you. And if you're not careful, he'll mess up your life. So the Lord hadn't eaten anything for 40 days, here comes the devil. The devil was the champ. He was the reigning champ at that time. I can see him now up there on top of that mountain. Here's the Son of God. He had never met nobody like Jesus. And the devil comes out there, you know, with his boxing gloves, spiritually speaking, and all the little demons around say, attaboy, champ, you can get him. You can get him. Get him. They all talk about him being different. They talk about him being sinless. They talk about him, baby. Show him who's boss. Get out there and take care of him. So the devil comes out like this, you know, and he makes a challenge. And he walks up, and here's the challenger, Jesus Christ. The devil knocked out every man in the ring. He knocked out Adam. He knocked out Seth. He knocked out Cain. He knocked out Abel. He got Noah drunk. He got Abraham to lie about his wife. He got Job to be self-righteous. He got David to commit adultery. He got Moses to kill a man. He got Paul to kill a man. He got Noah drunk. The devil had messed up every man that's ever been on this planet. Every man since Adam. The devil's knocked him out somehow. The devil's knocked me out. The devil's knocked you out. But this day, somebody special stepped in the ring. Amen. Somebody a little bit different come up this day, somebody bigger than you and me, somebody tougher than Mike Tyson, somebody tougher than Evander Holyfield and all them guys, whoever the fighter is now, and all them fake ones and Hulk Hogan and all of them. I mean, here he got up there, and here he come. And boy, the devil made the first blow. And the devil reached him there, and he said, if you're the Son of God, he said, cast yourself off of this mountain. He said, if you're the Son of God, if you're so big and tough, throw yourself off this mountain. The Bible said, his angels will give charge concerning you, and in your hand you'll dash your foot against stone. And he'll wham! And the Lord Jesus looked back at him. And Jesus looked back like this, the challenger. Nobody had ever been like him. He grabbed him a verse of scripture out of the book of Deuteronomy, and he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Wham! And boy, he hit the devil like he had never been hit. I mean, the devil over here like that. Went, whoa, my Lord, I ain't never been hit like that. I mean, my devil, I ain't never been hit like that. And he said, Lord, mercy, I'm going to go over there. I'll get back in the ring. I'm getting a little rusty here. I'm going to have to put up my dukes and really fight him. And you know, Hank ran up there and the devil said this. He said, if you're the Son of God, he said, if you're the Son of God, he said, turn that rock right there into bread. And because you're hungry, ain't you? And the Lord was hungry. And the Lord reached back, got him another verse of scripture. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Pow! He hits the devil on the other jaw. And the devil falls down. He said, my goodness, my badness, I ain't never been hit like that. He said, nobody. I have been in the ring with a lot of bad dudes, but nobody's ever hit like that. And the demon said, you can beat him. You can beat him. And they started playing rap music. And they all got around him. And the devil comes out like that. He gets that demon power from that rap music. And he gets all that energized. And I mean, all kind of wicked people comes in there. I mean, they start patting him on the shoulder and saying, come on, Mr. D. You can take care of him. You can do it, Mr. Put our faith in you. You the man. Come on, knock him out. Mama said, knock him out. Mama said, knock him out. And here come all them old whores on Totila, Tequila, and every one of them old witches. And boy, here they all come. You can do it, devil. You can do it, devil. And right then, brother, it was the showdown over who was the strongest, God or the devil. God or the devil. And the Lord stood there. I need a bite in 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil threw his best punch and said, if you're the Son of God, fall down and worship me. That's what the devil wants, young people. You may not realize it. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to worship him. The devil wants you to worship him. The devil wants worship. He's jealous of God, and he wants you to fall down and worship him. It might be through drugs. It might be through sex. It might be through idol. It might be through money. But the devil wants you to worship him. And every angel in heaven was standing behind Jesus saying, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And Jesus Christ reached back and got one more verse and said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Pow! And the devil went off a cliff, brother, and took off running, and the Bible said, leave him alone for a little while. Don't worry about me. I'm holding back. Amen. If I spit on you, you're for jail. I'm going to tell you something this morning, brother. You hear me today. That devil, he's no match for Jesus. He's no match for Jesus. That's why I run and scream and holler. I'm a cheerleader for him. Amen. I worry about people who go to a ball game and scream like Comanche Indian. And come to church and sit like your mother-in-law just moved in with you. Brother, we got the run to win inside, man. We got the victory. We're on the right side. And Jesus came to defeat the devil. They said one time, years ago, they was up here in the mountains fighting a big war. It was like the Hatfields and McCoys, and everybody had their guns out shooting. And they was all shooting at each other. About that time, a baby got out of the house. Started crawling up the driveway. And one of them says, cease fire! That little baby, they all laid down their weapons. Because that little baby was in harm's way. I thought about that. You know, that's the way it was in this world. The devil is over here. God was over here. War is going on. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem's manger, a little baby come in. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, people. Don't worry about the kids. Don't worry about the buses. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about your kids right now. You just hear me and hear me well. A baby crawled out 2,000 years ago that brought the victory to the Lord and the defeat to the devil. Hallelujah. We've got something to shout about this morning. We've got something to be happy about this morning. We've got something to raise our hand and say, hallelujah, this morning, because Jesus come to defeat the devil. Amen. Let me tell you something good. They're all talking about Santa Claus needs to lose weight. Oh, you know what else they said? They said Santa Claus, they're going to get him in one of them towns because he come down the street in a sleigh and didn't have insurance on it. Didn't have his seat belt on. Give Santa Claus a seatbelt ticket. Yeah. You know, tell him it comes down the chimney. They say that Santa Claus would have to go 800 miles a second, 800 miles per second, to visit everybody's house in the world in one night. That's doing pretty good, ain't it? Amen? That's not what it's all about. The last thing I want to say this morning is this. I said Jesus was born to fulfill the Scriptures. And buddy, He did. I said Jesus was born to reveal the Father. I said Jesus was born to defeat the devil. The last thing I want to say this morning is, Jesus was born to save sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. That's what church is all about. You know why we have our church here this morning? You know why we reach those that a lot of churches don't want to fool with? Because we believe that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. The church is not a social club. Did you know most churches this morning, they'd have 3 heart attacks, just like I did here this morning. They'd have a heart attack, man. They're stiff as a board. Somebody hollered, amen. Somebody shouted. I let them have, you know why? It's a social club. Y'all parking nice cars outside. We're all wearing nice clothes. How are you? Good to see you. The minister did so good this morning. Please don't ever come up to me and say, I enjoyed your speech. That's what a woman said. This woman came up to me after I got through one time. She said, I enjoyed your speech. I said, okay. Come back next time. I ain't going to give you no speech. I ain't a speecher. I'm a preacher. We're not supposed to speech. We're supposed to preach. I'm going to speech to you this morning on nothing. I'm going to preach this morning. That's what my job is, amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be excited. I like that old story, that old lady. She came out of church one night, big shot church. Have you ever been to one of them big shot churches? Well, I mean, tell you, brother, everybody looks like they're petrified. Lord have mercy, it's awful. And the guy stands up here with a dress on. Everybody in the choir's got on a dress, they're all the same color. And men and everybody wear the dresses down to the floor. And they all stand there, and boy, you could hear a pin drop. Like what that old woman said. She came in there, she is an old grandma from up in the mountain, and she shouted everywhere she went. She shouted everywhere. She didn't care what they thought. And buddy, she went in there one morning and the choir sung a song and they said the name Jesus. Grandma got to thinking about how good God had been to her. She throwed up her hanky like that. She starts saying, wow, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you didn't have a grandma that did that, you really got cheated. I mean, she'd shout, she'd say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And boy, that embarrassed that old preacher to death. He punched one of them. Listen, get her out of here, man. Get her out of here. We got lawyers and doctors and people make a lot of money in here. She's going to offend them. There ain't going to be but 30 Mercedes in the parking lot next week. We don't get that fanatic out of here. So they went over and said, calm down, ma'am. Calm down. Calm down. She said, wow! I just kept shouting like that. I mean, she didn't even know where she's at, man. She's out there somewhere. And finally, the ushers grabbed her. And they said to usher, one got under one arm and one got under her like, and he was carrying her out like that right there and her feet just dangling like that. And he was carrying her down the aisle like that. And somebody heard her when she went out the door. She said, praise God! Wow! Hallelujah! She said, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, He came in on one donkey. But she didn't say donkey. And I got two! She didn't call them donkeys. I'd like to hear that, wouldn't you? Amen. I'm telling you this morning, brother, we've got something to shout about. We may not have 2 nickels to rub together. We may not have the nicest clothes, car, house, but I tell you, we've got something to shout about. We're saved. Jesus come to save sinners. Jesus come to save sinners. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. saved. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's good news this morning, thank God. Good news. Good news. I'm kidding. You sing a little song. Said, have you heard the good news? Good news. Good news. Have you heard the good news? Good news. Good news. Have you heard? It is good news. It is good news. You say, you think Mitt Romney's going to beat Giuliani? Lord, I don't know. Flip a coin. You say, you think either one of them going to beat the witch? I don't know. Lord, I hope they do. You say, well, you think either one of them, who's going to, I don't know. But I know the answer ain't in neither one of them. The answer is not in politics. The answer is the Lord Jesus come to save sinners. The answer is not in the White House. It's right here in the church house. The answer this morning is not in Iraq or in our government. It's right here in the pages of this book. Jesus come to save sinners. That's why I was born. Luke 10 said He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, my thoughts have been wicked. Yeah? The Bible said He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He was manifested to take away our sin. You say, Brother Danny, I've cursed and I've blasphemed. The Bible said He was manifested to take away that sin. You say, Brother Danny, I told a lie. Preacher said the other day, somebody told me the other day, they was talking about a preacher, and they said, well, that preacher broke the Ten Commandments. I said, I ain't never going to that church. That preacher broke one of the Ten Commandments. I said, look, I hate to break this news to you, but he broke more than one of them. You say, I ain't never broke one of the Ten Commandments. You broke every one of them. Name me one of the Ten Commandments you ain't broke. You say, I ain't never killed nobody. Bible said if you hate somebody in your heart, you murder. Yeah. You say, I ain't never committed adultery. If you look at somebody and lust after them, you commit adultery. Come on now. Quit acting like you're good. You say, I ain't never told a lie. Oh, yes, you have. You ain't never sat in school when you was little and would be cutting up, and then when the teacher come in, act like you was doing your homework. You ain't never started cleaning up your room right when your mom come in. You say, I ain't never... Yeah, you have, too. Have you ever disrespected your mom and daddy? Yes, you have. Have you ever took God's name in vain? Yes, you have. You say, I don't cuss. It didn't say in profanity. It said in vain. That's just using His name lightly and not meaning anything by it. Listen, brother, you broke every one of them commandments. I have too. You broke every single one of them. But I'm telling you, that's not what saves us is Jesus came to save sinners. He come to save sinners. I'm a sinner. He come to save me. Are you a sinner? He come to save you. I'm telling you, that's the good news. That's the good news. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've cheated on my husband. I've cheated on my wife. The good news is He come to take away that sin. He'll forgive your sin. He'll change you and give you a fresh start. You can start all over again before you leave this place today. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was manifested to take away our sin. You say, I'm a crook. He'll take it away. You say, I've killed somebody. I've committed murder. He'll take it away. He was manifested to take away our sin. You know, they said years ago when Leonardo da Vinci was here in Milan, Italy, they go down to the marketplace like we have, flea market. And when they go down to flea market, Leonardo da Vinci would go down there every day and buy these birds. And they had these birds in these cages. And one day some of the kids in the neighborhood got to following him around. They said, I wonder what he's doing with all them birds. He comes down here every day and buys birds. What's he doing? And they followed him out over the hillside, and they watched him. And he went out over the hill like this, and he'd open that cage and let that bird out. Let it go free. And then they watched him next day. He'd come down there and buy him another cage with a bird in it. And he'd just walk out of town, open that cage, and let him free. And I thought, man, what's wrong with him? And he said, I can't stand to see him in that shape like that. I'll just pay for him and let him go free. Listen, there was a time in my life. I was 18 years old and the devil had me in a cage. I couldn't get out. I couldn't get free. I had no power to do what I want. The devil had me locked up. You remember when you was like that? The devil just got you locked up. But I'm glad that somebody went and bought me. I'm glad that somebody paid for me. I'm glad somebody cared enough about me to pay the price and said, I'll buy him. I'll redeem him. And he took that cage and flung it open, took me out. Brother, I'm flying free this morning. Amen. I know where I'm going. I'm free today. I'm free at last. Free at last. Amen. That's why Jesus come. He come to save sinners. They said, oh, this old boy named Old Bill. They called him One-Eyed Bill because he got in a fight in a bar one night and lost one of his eyes. And he stayed and got drunk and lived wicked and gambled in bars all the time. And somebody talked to him and he went to a rescue mission up in Indiana and he got saved. And he got saved and he changed so much that they started calling him New Bill. New Bill. They used to call him Old One-Eyed Bill. Now they started calling him New Bill. And they said that old boy would get up on top of the beer barrels and preach and give his testimony. That's why Jesus came. Colonel Sanders, you know him? Colonel Sanders that started Kentucky Fried Chicken. I've been to the original Kentucky Fried Chicken up there in Corbin, Kentucky. And they showed me where that thing started. Preacher took me up there one time. We eat there. And old Colonel Sanders became a rich man. And he went everywhere searching for peace. He tried to give away money and help charities and everything just to try to get some peace in his heart, and he couldn't find no peace. He thought, well, I'll try to do better. That didn't work. He said, I'll give some money away. Maybe I'll feel better. That didn't work. And finally went to church. And they told him he could get saved. And they said, you want to get saved? And he said, I want to get saved. 79 years old, Colonel Sanders got saved. And you know what he said before he died? He said, I finally found peace. And he died. 79 years old. That's why Jesus came to this world, to save sinners. Father Chiniki, I read a story about him called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. He was a Roman Catholic priest. And he was a Catholic priest for years, in 50 years, and had no peace on the inside. And one night he stayed up reading the Bible all night on Saturday night and got down on his knees and asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. And he got up on Sunday morning, there's 900 people in that Catholic church, and gave his testimony. He said, I found the giver and I've received the gift. And Father Chiniki got saved, and about 700 or 800 of them got saved that day. And there's a Presbyterian church there this morning where it used to be a Catholic church. You know what he found out? That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come so you could be religious. Religion makes you worse off than you are. It stinks. Jesus come to save sinners. We got anybody in here like that this morning? We got anybody in here this morning say, man, no matter how hard I try, I ain't no good. And then you start finding fault with churches and preachers to make yourself feel better. That ain't going to do you no good. You ain't never going to have peace until the Prince of Peace comes in you. And that's why Jesus was born. That's why I was born. You know why he's born? To save sinners. Let's